It's good to see you all here. Whether you're here in the room or online, we're happy to have you this Sunday morning. My name, as they said, is Andrea Bryant, and I'm one of the pastors here on staff. I oversee worship and creative arts. And if we haven't met yet, I'd love to have the opportunity to say hi and get to know your name and hear what brought you here to the Vineyard this morning. A little bit about me. I grew up in this area in Duluth with my parents and two brothers, and now I get the opportunity to raise my wonderful daughter, Freya, here as well. She's in the room, so I had to find her. I'm a Midwesterner born and raised, and so my heart has a soft spot for this place with its small towns, its people, the giant lake, and the tall pines. It just all speaks to my soul. Another fun fact, I'm one of those strange people who actually like winter and snow. Shout out, yeah. So don't get me wrong, I love summer too, but these last few weeks have been a little hot for my northern blood, and so I had to give a shout out to winter because I'm looking forward to that, but I'll keep my enthusiasm for a few weeks from now. So growing up, I learned how to work hard and how to play hard. As a family, I remember doing chores, making meals, helping friends and families with projects, and serving at church together, while also making time to play games, go on vacation, have lots of people over to share meals, and sit around a campfire in the summertime. The balance was something my parents tried to teach us to make sure we were raised to do our best to be present and resilient, compassionate, and responsible humans. And for me, I had and still can have the tendency to try to be the best and say yes to too much and overwork. So you could call me a recovering perfectionist, because those tendencies have softened over the years thanks to God's work in my life. But I'm still figuring out that no is an okay answer sometimes. Around 13 years ago, after graduating from Northwestern College in St. Paul, I found myself on a journey with Jesus, and I ended up here. I didn't know exactly what the next steps looked like. And for me, I was looking for a different place and someplace I could be filled because I was tired. I needed some healing. I had been in college. I was working part-time jobs, serving at my childhood church, which was struggling at the time, volunteering and coordinating worship for another ministry, and trying to also maintain and find solid friendships while also going through some big transitions in my personal life. I had put in a lot of hard work, which gave me a sense of accomplishment, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't a pace that I was wanting to sustain, and I didn't know what God was wanting for me. So I was here. I was at the Vineyard with all sorts of questions. Living life on a journey with Jesus is a part of being a disciple of Jesus. And that's what we're looking at as we go through this series on the Psalm of Ascents. The Psalm of Ascents is a group of short songs, and they were essentially a playlist for the Israelites as they made their journey to Jerusalem for three annual feasts, Passover, Weeks, and Tabernacles. Now, each of these songs has an invitation in them, not only for the Israelite people, but for us as well. And as I was studying these and learning more about them, one of the articles I read highlighted the fact that these songs were sung not only in the Old Testament, which is generally how I think about that with the Psalms, because that's where they are in the Bible, but they were also sung by the Israelites during Jesus' time and by Christ himself. These songs were a part of their daily lives. They heard them, they sang them multiple times, and Jesus himself would have known and sang these on his journey to Jerusalem with his family and his friends. Excuse me. Similar to the Israelites, we're on a journey in our faith. Discipleship is a continual process of transformation, surrender, and partnering with God. And thankfully, it's not about getting it perfect. As Eugene Peterson's book is titled, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction is What We're Doing. So this morning, we're going to look at Psalm 127, which is all about the wonderful topic of work. Fun, right, guys? Honestly, while preparing this message, I couldn't help but roll my eyes at God about the irony, because here I am putting in time and effort and discerning what to share and what not to share, and it's the middle of summer when I'd really rather be outside enjoying these 3 weeks of summer we have. Which is kind of a normal response, right? We don't want to do work, or we do it begrudgingly. We have this sigh of like, I have to do it, or a deep eye roll. And we see it around us in a lot of our conversations or how we respond. I remember at one of my previous jobs, almost every Monday morning, my boss would walk in the office door, and one of the first things out of her mouth would be, is it Friday yet? And so that seems to be how we often view work, like a burden or a necessary evil, that it's the complete opposite of fun and relaxation and play. But work isn't simply a job we go to. And that's why it gets overwhelming, is because we're constantly putting in effort and energy into something to accomplish a task or a purpose. And we all work in some capacity, whether we're young or whether we're old or whether we're retired. We have things in our lives that require care and need to be done. And yet we see over and over, God invites us to see work differently. He reframes it. Work isn't meant to be about living life to the extreme, where we're burning ourselves out, never pausing, or avoiding to put in no effort at all costs. It's about living a balanced life where God's at the center of everything we do. Because God cares about our play, He cares about our rest, He cares about our work, and everything in between. So the invitation we see in Psalm 127 today is for us to surrender and partner with God by having Him be the focus of our lives. Let's pray together, and then we'll look at Psalm 127. So Jesus, we invite you to come even more this morning. Yeah, Holy Spirit, show us the invitations you have for us both individually and as a community. Help us to sense your love, your compassion, and your joy over us. Reveal your truth and wisdom, and give us a new perspective on how you're inviting us to engage in work and in rest. Amen. Okay, let's read Psalm 127. If you want to open your Bibles or your app, I encourage you to do so. And if you want to use the Bibles under your chairs, it's on page 425 in those books. Let's read Psalm 127. It's a nice short psalm. It's only 5 verses. So it says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. So, let's look at verses 1 through 2 first. It's here on the screen. Could you go to that, Caleb? Let's notice the contrasts here. We see a lot of unless, and we see toiling, and then we see God granting and being present in all of this. So we can see in these verses, there's this contrast. There's these swinging from one pendulum to the other, where we could live life in the extreme, where we are working and toiling, or we're completely giving it all to God and just let God be God and do nothing. So on one end of the spectrum, we have overworking, having busy as this medal of honor, looking for achievement, accolades, security, status, trying to make our lives meaningful based on what we can do and how we serve, what we create, the money we save, and the praise we earn. This way of living keeps our attention on performance and what we're doing rather than the why. It also is subtle and sneaky in how it makes us reliant on ourselves rather than on God. I personally experienced this the last couple months when multiple expenses popped up. And for each unexpected bill, I could feel my anxiety levels rise. And I'd love to tell you that I was aware enough to be able to breathe and calmly address my racing thoughts, pray, give it to God. But no, my instinct reaction was start problem solving and figure out how I can fix the problem, pay this bill, how I can work more, spend less, hustle more, whatever. The need to fix the problem was really loud, and my anxiety told me I needed to do more. And then, in the midst of my worries, I felt this nudge from Jesus, and he came and asked me, "Do you trust me?" And honestly, in that moment, I felt more annoyance than relief bubbling up, because it takes a lot of effort when we hear or see a problem and we want to fix it to lean back and release control, especially when everything in me is like, I can do this, I can make this happen, I can fix the problem. It becomes this way of striving. And in that asking of me to trust him, I had to sit back and be like, okay, Jesus, how do I need to trust you right now? What area do you want me to trust you in right now? So in Psalm 127, like I mentioned, we see this word unless multiple times. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city. So are these verses then telling us God gets to do all the work and we just have to lean back and do nothing? I don't think that's quite what he meant. These verses are showing us that God is in the midst of those things, and there's an invitation there, because laziness is as much of a trap for us as overworking. And what I mean by laziness is this active choice and active avoidance and unwillingness to work or make an effort or take initiative when we have the ability to do so. Because this choice, constantly choosing to not work, it can be neglectful, and it can have a huge impact on our physical, our mental, our emotional state, and our relationships, our families, and community. We're created in the image of God, which is to imitate him and be a participant in our world. To create, to design, to build, to protect. God's invitation in these verses is for us to see how we can live a balanced life, where we work and rest. And that's countercultural and a bit upside down, because then we're not being reactive. We're not swinging from overworking to burnout and avoidance. And when we choose to not swing that pendulum, we have space and capacity to be present with God in how we work and in how we rest. So how do we live that out? Let's look at Psalm 127 again. It says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. In these verses, look at what God is doing. He's building, he's watching over, he's giving sleep, and he's blessing with children. The point isn't to try harder or not do anything. It's to do our part and then lean back and trust God to do the rest. It's to join God in the building, in the watching, and the resting because we're choosing to be aware of him and his work in those spaces and leaning into trust. Like I said, work is a part of life. It's part of how we're created in the image of God and a way to reflect him in the world around us. We see in Genesis 1:27 and 28 that we're instructed to be co-creators and caretakers. Isaiah 1:17, we're told to defend, to protect, to care, and learn. And in Matthew 28, we're commissioned to make disciples and share the good news about Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3:9 even says that we're invited to serve with God. We get to partner with him. The work we see here isn't about amassing wealth or things. It's about people and relationship with God and others. In his book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, Eugene Peterson writes this: by joining Jesus and the psalm, we learn a way of work that does not acquire things or amass possessions, but responds to God and develops relationships. People are at the center of Christian work. The character of our work is shaped not by accomplishments or possessions, but in the birth of relationships. God invites us to actively participate in his work, which is caring for the people around us. And both busyness and laziness are distractions from that. Because when we overwork, we're often preoccupied with our agenda and from getting to point A to point B. And we forget to slow down, look up, and notice the people around us. When we choose to avoid work, we aren't actively caring for ourselves or relationships or communities and can fall into apathy and neglect. So whether our role is a stay-at-home parent, an employee, a student, a spouse, volunteer, or anything else, no matter where we are or what we do, there are opportunities for us to notice the people in front of us and partner with God in his work. In Psalm 127, we're invited to recognize that God is present and active. And in the New Testament, the presence of God and his work was made more evident through Jesus. Our Savior came so we could live life to the fullest and partner with him in bringing his kingdom. And we see in the life of Jesus that he's reframing how we relate to work and rest. He's showing God's heart for humankind and noticing the people in front of him. In John 5, we get to see Jesus healing on the Sabbath, and the religious leaders are appalled and angry because he's not following the rules. They're all about checking these boxes and jumping through hoops. And they took this gift of rest, the Sabbath, and they made it this legalistic and essentially another form of work. They missed the purpose of Sabbath and saw it as a task rather than a gift. Sabbath and rest is a part of life as well because we all need it. Our bodies get tired. We have limited capacity, and the practice of Sabbath acknowledges that limitation while inviting us to stop, to rest, to delight, and worship God. Sabbath and rest isn't meant to be legalistic and rigid, but a space for us to practice trust and dependence on God. It's another way we can place God in the center of our lives. So when Jesus healed on the Sabbath, he was flipping the script by showing us that it's more important to surrender to God and what he's doing than to blindly adhere to certain expectations and standards. He sees the people, and that's always God's heart. Jesus lived on mission with God. He worked and he rested, and when he felt that invitation from his Father, he responded by doing his Father's work. In John 5, 19 through 20, he says, "Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed." Resting and Sabbath is choosing to pause, to go slower, and it grounds us in that truth of who God is and who we are in him, because we spend time with him. We're creating space for him. And when we participate in that spiritual practice or any other spiritual practice, we grow in our faith and trust in God, and we start to delight in the world around us and have more capacity for the people in front of us. The purpose of spiritual practices is for us to slow down, to ground ourselves in the truth of who God is, to feel his love for us and his delight over us, and then notice his invitations. We're invited to live life with God. So what could that look like for us today, this week? How do we practice living with God and inviting him to be the center of everything? One spiritual practice that came to mind as I was preparing, and I'd love for us to try this morning, is a breath prayer. Last weekend, we got to try on the practice of Lectio Divina, which is a wonderful way to sit with God for an extended amount of time and reflect on Scripture. Breath prayers are a way for us to breathe deep while praying a short prayer as we inhale and exhale. And it only takes a few minutes, and it can be something you can do anywhere, whether you're driving, doing dishes, waiting for an appointment. It's a little touch point with God, and you can insert it into your day to refocus your attention on him. So this morning, I invite you to try two different ones with me in response to Psalm 127. So if you can, I invite you to again get comfortable. Put yourself in a posture of receiving, whether that's leaning back in your chair, settling into your seat a little bit, uncrossing what's crossed, opening your hands, or even closing your eyes. And so we're going to take some slow, deep breaths. And as we breathe in, we'll pray these words, "You are the builder." And as we exhale, we'll pray in our minds, "Help me trust in you." So let's do that together. You are the builder. Help me trust in you. And I encourage you to breathe in through your nose and out through your nose as you do it. So let's stay in that comfortable posture and try one more. And I'm going to change it up a little bit. One thing that I also was taught with breath prayers is if you open your hands when you're breathing in and then turn them down as you're exhaling. So let's try that with our bodies engaging that way. So as we breathe in, we're going to have our hands up and say, I receive your rest. And as we exhale, we'll say, I release my striving. And just do that a couple times. Breathe in, I receive your rest. Exhale, I release my striving. Well, thank you guys for trying that on with me. And I'm going to invite you to slowly come back to the room, whether that's stretching a little bit, wiggling your toes or fingers, or exhaling and opening your eyes. Let's just ground ourselves, because we're transitioning back into the message from a very calm state. So if you snuck in a little nap too, I understand. So it may have felt a little odd, and I'll acknowledge it, a little odd to do that in a room full of people, but honestly, that's great practice for how you can use these breath prayers, because they are intended to not only be used when you have a moment to yourself, but also when you're in the midst of work or needing to quiet your mind from something difficult, or to remind yourself to look up when things start feeling overwhelming. So I encourage you to bring this practice with you throughout the week. You can write down what we just practiced, or you can even write your own. It's just a simple exchange with Jesus of receiving and laying something down, something on the inhale and something on the exhale. So with that,